Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Good morning. God bless you. Good to see you're a good-looking group. Going to continue this morning in our sermon series that's entitled Clearing the Hurdles. Now, these messages are about things that stand in our way of having an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. These are things that we must overcome if we're going to live an abundant life. So this morning we're going to do this. We're going to have a jailbreak this morning. Amen. We're going to have a jailbreak. And this morning, in just a few minutes, the door of the prison is going to be open. And everybody that wants to come out can come out. So it's going to be up to you to choose whether you stay there in the cell or you actually move into the freedom of the Lord. Now, Tim Keller in his book, Experiencing Awe and Intimacy with God, says this. He says, a holy life is an examined life. Every single part of it is examined. Psalm 139, as we just sang, says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 24, verse 3, asks the question, who may ascend the hill of the Lord? Verse 4 answers the question. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, this morning, I want to address the hurdle of unforgiveness. This morning, I hope to accomplish two things only. First of all, I want you to hear, and not only hear, but receive the truth that your forgiveness from God is contingent upon your forgiving others. Biblical truth. Your forgiveness from God is contingent upon how you forgive others. Secondly, I want to see this morning all who desire to leave this place, this room, with hearts that are free from unforgiveness. That's what God is offering you this morning. A heart that's free, delivered from unforgiveness. Someone has said, unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in prison, in a prison of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. Okay? All right. Someone has said, I don't know who to attribute the quote to, but they have said that it's been said that unforgiveness is choosing to stay trapped in a prison of bitterness, serving time for someone else's crime. Forgiveness, brothers and sisters, is a choice. One we must make if we expect God to forgive us. Often, and I've said this from this very pulpit, we often say, I can't forgive. When really, truly, what we should be saying is, I won't forgive. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, Jesus says this. He says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, hear me now, your Father will not forgive your sins. So there it is. Our forgiveness from God is contingent upon our willingness to forgive others. Now this passage, Matthew 6, this passage in itself should be enough to cause us to want to examine our hearts and enter into a life of forgiveness. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18, and let's share together an encounter that Jesus had with his disciples concerning forgiveness. Matthew chapter 18, beginning with verse 21. Says, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? You see, in the law, the law stated that that you were to forgive three times, and after that there was no forgiveness. So Peter is, he's thinking, he's being magnanimous and saying, well, I'll go further than the law because I know that this is the practice of Jesus, and I'll say seven times. Now Jesus, he responds, I tell you, Jesus answered, not seven times, but 77 times. Now some translations say seven times 70. This NIV says 77. The point is that he's saying you must forgive into eternity. That's the numbers of completion. You must forgive until the end of time. There is no limit to the number of times that you must forgive. And Jesus then seizes upon this teaching moment and he begins to share with them a parable. He says, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him, it says, 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Some talk about this as being 10,000 talents in some translations. 10,000 talents. Now, when I think of a talent, I have always thought that I could reach in my pocket and pull out a talent. You know, a coin of the realm, a talent. But the truth is, a talent, and we're talking about 10,000 of them here, is equal to 75 pounds. It was so big they had to put a handle on it. And 10,000 talents, hear this now, 10,000 talents in today's currency would be billions and billions of dollars. Now, what in the world has this guy done to run up a debt like that? Billions and billions of dollars. Some, as I studied this, some estimates were up to a trillion. The point is, it's an unpayable debt. The debt that's too great to be paid. This man that owed him this unpayable debt was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all they had be sold to repay the debt. He was going to be sentenced into a lifetime of indebtedness, a lifetime of misery, a lifetime of imprisonment. He and his wife and family. in order to just attempt to satisfy this debt. Now at this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. That's surely wishful thinking, but here we'll get to why this all makes perfect sense. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt that was unpayable, and let him go. Wow. Relieved of this great debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. Some translations say denarii. Denarii. 100 silver coins. Now, 100 silver coins or 100 denarii, as other translations say, is equal to about $12,000. See? Just a payable debt. The first servant whose debt was forgiven, it's estimated that it would take 160,000 to 200,000 years to work off that debt. Man, you talk about overtime. I know some of you feel like you may be going through that at work last week. But the debt of 100 denarii was just equal to about 4 months' wages. It was doable. It was doable. So this man comes to the fellow who had his enormous unpayable debt forgiven. Now he encounters someone that owes him a small debt. And it says he grabbed him and began to choke him. I don't recommend this as a method of debt collection. But he grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. This fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay it back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Okay, so we're following along here. Man that owed a debt he could not pay, the debt is forgiven. Same man whose debt was forgiven now will not forgive the debt that is payable, that is owed to him. And he throws the guy into prison. The master called the servant in. And he says, you wicked servant. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed, which he would never, ever be able to pay back. Now, then Jesus shoots right for the heart. Right for the heart. I can put myself before Jesus in my spirit, and I can see his eyes. I can see the countenance on his face as he speaks one of these truths. He looks not on our exterior, but he looks deep inside us with those piercing eyes. Eyes of God. And he looked at this man and he says to them and to us this morning, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister. And then hear these last words. So important. Is it up there? From your heart. From your heart. Just saying we forgive may be the beginning. But for forgiveness to be true, it's got to be from your heart. Now, Peter comes to Jesus and says, Lord, how many times must I forgive? Jesus says, you must forgive from now to eternity. Jesus tells the parable of a debt that's unpayable being forgiven, but the one who has been forgiven the unpayable debt refuses to pay to forgive the much lesser debt of another. So here we sit this morning. Here we sit, gathered together here in church. Here we sit, debtors, those that have accepted the forgiveness of God, that have had our sins forgiven, and have moved from death unto life by the grace and mercy of our loving Heavenly Father through the sacrifice of His own Son on the cruel cross of Calvary. Here we sit, forgiven, owing a debt that we cannot pay. Isn't it wonderful that we're not asked to repay the debt? It's a debt we cannot pay. We are people of grace. If not for the grace of God, where would we be? If not for His forgiveness, we would be lost in our sin. See, we were born into that sin. We continue into that sin until we appropriate the forgiveness of God through the cross into our life. And when we do, we become recipients of this divine grace that forgives us. Even though we do not deserve forgiveness, it's ours through Christ Jesus. I am a debtor. I owe a debt I cannot pay. You know, it's important this morning that we recognize that. We don't deserve God's love, His mercy, His forgiveness. But we have it as a precious gift. Our debt has been forgiven through Christ. A debt that was unpayable, it's been canceled out. And so now, Jesus says to you and to me, as forgiven people, He says, you have been forgiven so much, I call you now to forgive others. And He goes on to say, in one of those tough sayings, He goes on to say that our forgiveness is contingent upon our willingness to forgive others. You know, sadly, many carry unforgiveness that is not only destructive emotionally and relationally, but it's destructive spiritually as well. When we carry unforgiveness, it keeps us from being who God wants us to be. Now, the problem with forgiveness is that sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? You know, someone hurts us. Our natural reaction is to get revenge, not to forgive. How am I going to get them back? They'll have to pay for this. Let me just take a quick moment to tell you what forgiveness is not. This may help you. Forgiveness first is not justifying another person's actions. When you forgive someone, you're not saying that what they did is okay. What they did is still wrong if it's wrong. but you're simply letting go of that baggage that's holding you back. Second, forgiveness is not waiting on the passage of time. Well, I'll just wait and see. I'll just give this some time. Time heals all wounds. There's a Greek word for that. It's called baloney. Right? Sometimes, on occasion, time makes the wound worse. If it's infection, right? It makes the wound worse. Time does not always heal all wounds. So just waiting until you say, once some time passes, I'll feel like forgiving. No, 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 no. The time to forgive is now. The time to forgive is now. Let's see. Forgiveness is not denying you were hurt. You know, I'm hurt, but I'm just going to say, well, that doesn't matter. It's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. So it's not denying that you were hurt. Fourth, forgiveness is not automatically trusting the other person again. Just because you forgive, just because you forgive someone doesn't mean that you have to trust them into the future. Forgiveness is a choice we make. Trust is something a person earns through wise choices and actions. Forgiveness is perhaps the most difficult thing that Jesus asks us to do, but it's absolutely essential for our well-being. So how do we forgive? First, remember this. You have been forgiven. You have been forgiven. Ephesians 4:32 says this, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Forgiveness is simply offering to others the same grace we have received. That's it. It's offering to others the same grace that we have received. Remember that we are a forgiven people. In order to forgive, we need to respond in gratitude, remembering that we are forgiven and that we are grateful for that forgiveness. Remember that the great debt that we owed has been paid. Be grateful that God is a God of grace and mercy. Realize there's a power in forgiveness. Forgiveness opens that prison cell and allows us to walk out into freedom. Forgiveness is the key that unlocks the cell. When we show mercy and forgive, we are set free. When we choose to forgive, we are set free. I want you to be free this morning. I want you to walk out of that prison cell. Walk into freedom.